It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how was your long weekend?
Morena, Rachel, it was good. I had four different mayoral functions, broke it up a little bit, one of them was addressing the rally to support Ukraine against the Russian invasion, and it was cold, it was wet, it was windy, and then the microphone failed because the water got into the circuits. But it was still a very moving event, and you know, great to be out there and supporting the Ukrainian community in Auckland, you know, who just spend each day worrying about their families at home and the loss of their, you know, of homes, of people are being killed and raped, and it's just an appalling situation. So great to be out there, and great that New Zealand is giving the support that it can in their struggle for their freedom and independence.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, we've been kind of talking about the budget in the last few weeks as we sort of lead up to it. We've been talking about some of the community feedback on it. But now we've got the budget sort of laid out for us, let's get into some of the details here. We're seeing quite a big focus on trees and climate, which we sort of knew were going to be things going into it. And also some interesting use of the Three Waters funding, which has been maybe a wee bit controversial in how it's been received. But let's start by talking about trees. This is always a hot one with BFM listeners. What are you hoping to achieve with this budget for trees in Tāmaki Makaurau? Because we've had quite a fraught relationship with them as a city.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, it's against a backdrop of some 5 million native trees and shrubs that will have been planted under the Mayor's Million Trees campaign over the 6 years that I've been Mayor. So that's pretty spectacular. It's planting season right now, so there's probably planting happening around different parts of the city, and I get out to those that we can. But the focus of the climate action targeted rate, it's only a relatively small part of it, but its focus is very much on those parts of the city that have traditionally had low canopy coverage. So you get an area like Mangareo Tahuhu, for example, that has about 8% canopy coverage, when some parts of the city have more than 20%. And of course, the areas that have low canopy coverage are also pretty much identical to the areas that are our most disadvantaged, lowest income areas of the city. So what we're looking at doing is planting native trees, and they'll be they're 8 to 10 years old. They'll be about 1.5 meters high, along the streetscapes, in parks and reserves, to make sure that not only can we green those parts of the city that don't have much tree coverage at all, but we can provide more shade for the inevitable increase in temperatures that we're going to see, reduce the heat island effect of the city, give people, particularly kids, in playgrounds and reserves, more shade and shelter against the sun. And that's something that really we should have done 20 years ago, probably 30 years ago, but we're doing it now, and that's really good.
It is good to see. We've talked a bit, well, historically with our conversations, we've talked a bit about the sort of tree protections in Tāmaki Makaurau, and it is a complicated conversation that requires input from central government. Are you hopeful that we might see some movement on that conversation at some point in the near future, now that we're getting, I guess, more focus on what it means to have trees and protection for trees in the city?
Well, I'm always hopeful, but I haven't seen it yet. Nick Smith, as the National Minister for the Environment, took away the blanket coverage of protecting for urban trees, which meant that before you could knock down a mature tree, you had to have a resource consent and you had to be able to justify that. And the current government hasn't brought that protection back in yet. We're currently adding, I think it's another 500 trees to our listed notable trees that will give them some protection. But that is a long, costly, time-consuming process that isn't as effective is having a broad coverage of particular types and species of mature trees, mainly native trees, that we really want in the change to the amendments mm-hmm. to the RMA that's coming. So we're still pushing for that. I've written several times to the minister. I've lobbied. I've passed resolutions through the local government New Zealand conferences trying to get it. And we have got, you know, I think strong support for that. Maybe not taking it back to where it was, but at least a reasonably targeted scheme that would stop the, you know, the random and arbitrary cutting down of trees, with council being totally unable to prevent that.
Well, let's talk a wee bit about, we've talked about it a lot recently, but let's talk a bit about the climate focus of this budget, because that really does seem to be the big underpinning theme for this. Your targeted rate has been huge in this conversation as well. What are you most, pleased about or hopeful for with the budget and how it will be spent to, sort Auckland out for climate change? Because we are going to be, you know, dealing with some really interesting and difficult consequences of it.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, way back in 2019, Council unanimously passed its climate emergency declaration. 2021, last year, we finalised a climate action plan to help mitigate carbon emissions and also to work on adaptation to the effects of climate change. But those are basically expressions of good intentions and direction. But what you really need is money to back those things up. And that's why I've introduced, albeit in really difficult financial times, a climate action targeted rate, which for the person with the average price property, medium price property of just over $1 million, works out at about $1.12 a week, $58 a year. But that will give us $574 mm-hmm. million dollars with matching government funds or co-funding from government and from development contributions. That increases to $1 billion over the 10-year period. Now, that's a significant sum of money. $600 million of that will be investment in new bus services. So we've got 10 new frequent bus routes in the south, west and east of the city. We've got extensions of the frequent service on the Northern Expressway up to the Hibiscus Coast Station, and improvements to about 70 existing bus routes around the region. We're converting more buses to from diesel to electric. We're converting our diesel ferries to electric and hybrid. We're completing key links in the city's cycling network. We've got 35 kilometres of improved footpaths and mm-hmm. pedestrian crossings, plus the planting of the trees. Now, this afternoon, councillors get to vote on that. Now, everybody says that we need to do something about climate change, and the evidence is just overwhelming. Time is running out. We have to act now. I suspect not every councillor will vote for it, but I'm working really hard to get a majority support for that, so that Auckland, as the, you know, the biggest city in New Zealand, a third of the country's population, can play its role in combating climate change. It's urgent. We need it for our kids and grandkids.
I want to come back to a different conversation about buses in just a minute, but I do want to touch on, it's been, a little bit controversial. The council's going to be using the money from the government's first payment under Three Waters and the changes that we're going to be seeing there to help meet the big funding gap we've got. That's been, met with some mixed responses to it. Why are we using this money for this, and what is the reasoning behind that?
Well, it's got nothing to do with support for the governance model of Three Waters, which I have consistently opposed, even to the extent of putting up a one-person minority report on the government's working group, because I believe that the governance should remain with the elected representatives of Aucklanders, and I've argued that consistently. I will continue to argue that consistently. But the government has made available sums of money which it associates with a better-off funding package for Three Waters. Mm-hmm. Auckland got nothing in the first round, which was $750 million. In this round, we will get $508 million and $127 million of that payable this year. There are no strings attached other than that we need to use it for the purposes outlined in the government funding agreement, which we can easily meet. And what Aucklander thinks, that I should turn down $508 million from government to fund projects in Auckland that would otherwise have to be met on the back of rate increases. So absolutely no apologies for using that money. It's being given to us by government. I'm arguing that government actually should actually give us a permanent funding source, a devolution of funding.
Mm-hmm.
But we will use this money and we'll use it to the benefit of Aucklanders, and there's no reason why it should in any way be controversial. It would be controversial if I said, no, I'm not going to accept this money. Won't make any difference to the outcome of Three Waters, but would make a big difference in that being another $500 million burden on Aucklanders that government is prepared to meet. Of course I'm going to say yes to it.
Okay, well, let's come back to bus drivers, because we've seen a bit of outcry from the bus drivers in Tāmaki Makaurau about their working conditions at the moment, working really long shifts for really terrible pay, and saying that this is gone too far and enough is enough, that the employers need to look at the way they're treating their employees at the moment. Now, this is obviously not directly through council, but it is part of the things that council manages here. What's your thoughts on this? I mean, this is quite an issue in the city.
Yeah, look, for a very long time, bus drivers have had to put up with the unsociable hours associated with split shifts. So they start early in the morning, then they have 4 hours off during the day, and then they work into the evening so that the bus drivers are on for the peak hours. That doesn't make the occupation sociable or attractive in many cases. And also the pay, frankly, has not been adequate. The starting rates for bus drivers are just over $23 an hour. And while this is long-standing and we've been working to address it, it's come to a head because we have a significant shortage of bus drivers at the moment, some 270 in Auckland. So Auckland Transport is working to increase wages to around $27 to $30 an hour so that it's more competitive to the rest of the industry, because we're losing bus drivers who are becoming freight drivers and courier drivers and Uber drivers, etc. And we're getting some assistance from government to do that. There was $61 million in the budget nationwide to assist a more sustainable skilled workforce of bus drivers, and I welcome that, that government initiative. So we're now in the process of working that through so that we can make bus driving a much more attractive occupation. And there are, you know, new measures obviously being taken. The borders are open, so we'll probably bring some bus drivers in from overseas. We're working at encouraging women to take up bus driving as an occupation. We're working to bring former bus drivers back into the industry. Now, this is done via Auckland Transport, but Auckland Transport negotiates with the bus companies, the private bus companies that contract out to us. But wages must go up and conditions must be improved, because more and more we want to see more buses on the road, more people using buses to deal with both congestion and carbon emissions.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. I hope you have a good week until then. Thank you.
Okay, take care. Ka kite anō.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank